I want to share for a few moments a teaching on we have a part to play in our spiritual growth. How many want to grow spiritually? A lot of people. I want to see that again. How many want to grow spiritually? Wow, that's tremendous. We know God has a huge part to play in our spiritual growth. But we also have a part to play. And friends, we are in the process. We are in the last days of time. And I think all of us recognize when we watch the news that things are happening fast, and we are entering into a difficult time, maybe even persecution, where if you claim to be a Christian, you are going to be persecuted physically. And we know that many laws are being developed today that are anti-Christian, against Christ. And so we need to grow spiritually so that we are prepared for what is coming upon the face of the earth. We need to be spiritually prepared. It's no time to be sleeping or taking a spiritual vacation. It's a time to get serious with God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Wow. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What a verse. Now this is not talking about that time where you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. It's not talking about the works that some people think you need to do in order to be saved. It's talking about sanctification. It's talking about spiritual growth, that we need to grow in our walk with the Lord. You say, well, what does fear and trembling mean? Fear and trembling. It means that we need to take this process seriously. Seriously. That we can't put it on the back burner. We can't say, well, tomorrow I'm going to surrender this to the Lord. No, today is the day to commit to fully surrender our lives to Jesus Christ and to totally and completely give everything over to God. So there's a part that God plays, and there's a part that we must play. Now the part that we must play is energized and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. But have you ever asked yourself this question, am I growing spiritually? Am I taking spiritual strides forward in my walk with God? Or am I struggling with the same things I did years ago? Friends, as we grow in our walk with God, things should fall off of us. Bondages should be broken in the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen this morning?
Yes. All right.
So I want to look at three things this morning that we need to engage in order to see spiritual growth in our walk with the Lord. If you have a piece of paper, you could write them down. Number one, spiritual growth requires self-discipline. Self-discipline. Doesn't sound like a nice word, does it? Self-discipline. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Spiritual growth requires self-discipline. Here Paul says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run? How many know there's a lot of people running? There's a lot of people running saying, I'm a Christian, I'm running. But in a race, only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. Friends, those Olympic athletes, they have a strict diet. I like the word diet, because the first part of the word is die.
Yeah.
A diet means you've got to die to something. Diet. Whatever it is, you've got to die to it.
Yeah.
And they have a strict form of regulation as to when they get up in the morning, and they're practicing, and no, I can't go there right now. I've got things to do to prepare. The Bible says they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. Look at verse 27. But I discipline my body and keep it under control. I didn't say that, folks. That's what the Bible says. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Taking a shortcut. There's no shortcuts in this walk with God. We have to walk according to the Holy Spirit. So we have to discipline our bodies and keep them under control. What does that mean? It means we cannot allow our flesh or our emotions to lead us. This is something that should never come out of a Christian's lips. You want to hear what it is? How many want to know what it is? I don't feel like it. There's a prayer meeting. I don't feel like going. I'm not talking about health now. I'm not talking about your health. But you just don't feel like it. You know you have to read the Bible. You know that's what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do. The Spirit within you is about to strengthen you and empower you to read the Word. How many know if we lived our lives totally on emotion and feelings, you wouldn't be here today? Because you had to go to work, didn't you? What if all the days you didn't feel like going to work, you just stayed home? You'd get fired! Hello? Come on, John, isn't that the truth? How many here know what I'm talking about? If we went by our feelings, we wouldn't make any progress, especially in the spiritual realm. I wonder if anybody stayed home this morning because they just didn't feel like going to church. Can you just shout their name out? I'm just kidding. We can't go by emotions. We can't. We have to govern through the Holy Spirit. out of the boat to walk on the water, the Holy Spirit is going to be there to empower me. Come on, somebody. I've had people say to me, "Me? I didn't feel like coming to church or Bible study. But I'm so glad I did. I received such a blessing." Someone said that to me a few weeks ago. When they came to the Bible study, I didn't feel like, well, I can understand that. Sometimes I don't feel like going. But Gina keeps reminding me, you're the pastor. I'm human, just like you are. I don't feel all the time like I want to do this or that or something else. But when you put your feelings aside and do what you know to be the right thing, and when you come, you get blessed. How many know what I'm talking about? So many people are being led by their emotions. It's the engine that drives their lives. But we can't allow our feelings and our emotions to guide our lives. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. And we've just got to die to those things. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Self-discipline is an important part of our spiritual growth. And we must put it into practice on a daily basis. How many know? Not a weekly basis. Every day. You've got to decide that you're going to serve God. God can't make that decision for you. You've got to make it yourself. Are you hearing me this morning? God can't make you. Angels didn't pick you up and carry you to church today. You had to decide to get out of bed. Oh, that was tough, wasn't it? You had to get out of bed. You had to get out of bed. You had to brush. Maybe you didn't brush your teeth. I don't know. But you had to make a conscious effort to say, I'm going, hallelujah, I'm going to be there, I'm going to be in God's presence, oh hallelujah. Some people are waiting for angels to appear. But 99.9% of the time, they don't show up. You have to make the decision yourself. The Holy Spirit is there to strengthen you. But you have to, and that your will, your choice. Secondly, this morning, spiritual growth requires simple obedience. Now, I know sometimes people make obedience sound so complex. But in essence, it's very simple. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. The truth. What is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Are you hearing me this morning? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Jesus is the truth. The Word we have in front of us, we're reading it, it's the truth. We have to be obedient to the truth. The Bible says here, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. I don't like him. I don't like him. I don't like how he dresses. I just don't like how he cuts his hair. I don't like him. I like this verse. Because it says, love one another earnestly. From a pure heart that has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, can I add, someone said this to me a few weeks ago, and I think it's so true. How can God reveal to us fresh truth if we have not been obedient to the last truth? God, give me something fresh. Give me something fresh. Give me something fresh. Give me something fresh. Well, God says, hey, have you been obedient to the last thing I showed you? The last thing I revealed to you? Because God wants that done first before he shows us something else. Otherwise, we'll just have a whole collection of things that we've never done. Like in your garage. How many know what I'm talking about? Oh, I can hardly wait to see springtime at your place. Spring cleaning. How can God show us something fresh if we haven't done what he's already revealed to us? God says, forgive your brother. God says, forgive your brother. But you're still holding on. Some people are holding on to something that happened 20 years ago. How many know what I'm talking about? 20 years ago. And every time you talk to them, they bring it up. Well, you don't know, I'd be serving God. But, you know, so-and-so did this to me and it happened right in the church. Yeah, when did it happen? 1974. A lot of things have changed since 1974. But some people are still holding on to something, and then they're crying out to God, God, I want to grow! Well, if we want to grow, we're going to have to put in place, not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Are you hearing me this morning? Not just a hearer of the truth, but a doer of the truth. So if I know what God's word says, the simple, obedient act is simply to do it. And then we're going back to feelings again, aren't we?
I don't feel like doing it.
Next month I'll do it. When I'm feeling better, I'll do it. It's just simple obedience, folks. What has God shown you? What has God revealed to you? That's what we need to do. And when we start doing that, we're going to grow. We are going to make spiritual strides in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I saved the last one because it's the most difficult one. Spiritual growth is contingent on us accepting discipline from God. How many here have had a father? Well, if you haven't, then you're an alien. How many here have had a father? Can I see your hand? How many? My dad used to tell me every time he did something wrong, his father would take him out to the woodshed. Anybody, can anybody relate to the woodshed? Okay, there's a few people. And my father's stepdad, because his dad died at a very young age, would take him out to the woodshed, and he would point to a tree, and he would say, pick your what do they call it? What? Yeah, your willow stick. Pick it yourself. So my father would try to find the most flimsy twig possible. My father was quite rowdy too, because my step-grandfather was German, and my dad was going overseas to fight, and my step-grandfather said, you don't need to do that. I wonder why he said that. He was German. He said, you don't need to go over there to fight. In fact, just stay home. But my dad said, no, I'm going. And they got into a fist fight. You know, our fathers, our earthly fathers, have all disciplined us. Hopefully, it was for the best. But how many know that our Heavenly Father disciplines us? No, not too many amens this morning. But He does. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 9. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us, thank God, for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. Can somebody praise the Lord this morning? Now for your comfort, read verse 11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Everything that happens to us is not necessarily from the devil. Can I say that again? Everything that happens to us is not necessarily from the devil. God allows some things in our lives to teach us something, to get us back on track and away from the things that will cause us harm. Hello? It's not fun. It's not exciting. You don't get goosebumps when it happens. But sometimes God's discipline is necessary. Because sometimes, even as believers, we get on the wrong road. And God has to get us back. He has to get our attention. Sometimes we drift away from God's best for our lives. Did you know that God has and wants His best for you? Not second choice, not third choice, but God wants His And sometimes we drift away from God's best. And God has to allow sometimes difficult circumstances and difficult situations in our lives to get us back on track. You see, that's why sometimes we don't know how to pray for someone. The bottom is falling out and we're praying, God, prosper them. But we don't know. Maybe the bottom has to fall out. Come on, somebody. Maybe the bottom has to fall out so that they can see that they're heading in the wrong direction. And maybe they'll look up and see the hand of God. Think about it for a minute. We're praying for people sometimes not according to the Spirit or according to what God wants in their lives. Have you ever been praying for someone and the more you pray, the worse it gets in their life? Come on, somebody. It seems like the more you're praying for them, the worse it's getting. Well, friends, could it be that God is answering your prayers? You see, that sounds bizarre to me. But we pray it all the time, Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, Lord, to bring them back. If that's what it takes to bring them back into fellowship with God, isn't it worth it? Because beyond their prosperity, the most important thing in their life is their salvation. Walking with God. Pleasing Him, bringing glory unto Him. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? Jonah is a perfect example of this. Oh, Jonah. Jonah, Jonah, Jonah. God called him to preach to the city of Nineveh, and he says, I'm not going. And what does God do? He just blesses him and gives him two cars and a nice house. No, he didn't do that. Jonah got on a boat, and the winds started to rage. And friends, sometimes that's what God does in our lives. The winds begin to rage. Are you hearing me? Because we're out of the will of God. We've stepped out of His plan for our lives. And He loves you so much. He's going to try almost anything to get you back where He wants you. He ran from the presence of God. And God had to get a great fish to swallow him. What a snack. And the Bible says he was 3 nights in the belly of the fish, or the whale. Exactly. Thank you very much for that commentary, because that's true. Can you say it again? Can you imagine being in the belly of a fish, a whale? But you know what? It was in the belly of that whale that Jonah heard the voice of God. And friends, sometimes that's what it takes to get us out of that rut and out of that place that we're in that's not intended for you. somewhere, at some point, in those 3 days, he saw the light. And he went back. You know, the fish spit him up. I'm sure he needed a shower after that. But he went back to Nineveh. That was God's plan for him. Are you hearing me this morning? He was to go to Nineveh. And when he preached repentance, the people repented. You'll never be happy outside of God's will. And some of the difficulties that we go through in life, we've caused ourselves. And God is trying to get our attention. And I'm praying that for you. God, get our attention, Lord. Get our attention. Whatever it takes, please, Pastor, don't pray that. Too late, I'm praying it. Lord, whatever it takes to bring a mighty revival, depression, Lord, let it be done. Closing. Have you drifted a little? Has that hunger for God and His Word dried up in your life? Friends, our relationship with God is so important. Are you enduring some difficult times? Maybe it's God's discipline to try to get you back into that passionate relationship with Him again. Hallelujah! Because friends, let me tell you something this morning. Beyond all that we can do for God, it's what God does in us that's important to Him. And He wants a passionate follower of Jesus. Hallelujah. He wants me to be passionate. He wants you to be passionate in your relationship with Him. Hallelujah. And He's going to do anything possible to get you on fire for God. Can you show me again some? We want to grow spiritually. God has placed that desire within every child of God. The desire to grow. The Holy Spirit has His part to play, but we have our part to play. We have to choose. We need to understand obedience, divine correction, self-discipline. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can do it. You were created to succeed. Spiritually. Oh, hallelujah. I feel that in my spirit this morning. You were born from above to succeed spiritually, to grow 40, 60, and 100 fold. I speak into your spirit today in the name of Jesus. Assist you and empower you. in the thing that you want to do for Jesus. Will you bow your heads?